Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we give you all the praise and glory, honor and adoration today. We declare that you alone deserve the praise and glory, for you are God and there is none like unto you. This morning, our hearts are full of joy and our spirit is excited because we have come your presence. For this is Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God, where a God is enthroned, where Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, is, where the sprinkled blood of Jesus is speaking a better word. This is Mount Zion, where there is a joyful assembly of innumerable company of angels. This morning we thank you for the privilege given us through Christ Jesus, that we can access your presence. We thank you for your word that is coming to us, to enlighten us, to transform us, and to build us up. We thank you, O God, that angels of God are here to receive our prayers and also to bring back answers to us. This is the day that you have made, and your word enjoins us to be glad and to celebrate this day. For we know that in this day we shall reign by your grace and by your gift of righteousness. And we will be instruments of righteousness to the glory of your name. We thank you and we bless you for a wonderful fellowship in this time of devotion. And we pray for all members and people who are connected to Mount Zion and connected to this daily devotional. And we pray, O God, that as they receive this devotional, it will be a blessing unto them. May you take all the glory and may you reign, even as you commission us to reign. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with all thanksgiving and adoration. Beloved, you are welcome once again to Mount Zion Daily Devotional. The Lord is still speaking on Mount Zion. Our theme for this month is reigning in life. And the Lord has blessed us since the beginning of the month with several expositions under the theme. We have more or less completed our discussion on the abundant grace, the grace of God, for now. I say for now because there's so much to learn about grace. And I believe in the course of the ensuing years, the Lord may bring us to grace and we will take our time to continue where we left off. Today, by the grace of God, we are considering the second elemental instrumental pillar that will enable us to reign in life. And that is the gift of righteousness. As our theme scripture says, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 17, for if by the trespass of the one man, referring to Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through that one man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth? So straight away from this scripture, through Adam's sin, death reigned through men. Men lost their ability to reign, the right to reign. But Jesus came, paid for our sins, restored us to reigning ways through these two great virtues, the abundance of grace and also what we refer to as the gift of righteousness. And today we want to open our hearts to the Lord to teach us what he means by this gift of righteousness. And I want us to focus on reigning from next Monday. So we deal with righteousness today, Thursday, then tomorrow. Then we'll put a comma or a hold or a pause on righteousness. That will be enough for us to understand the gift of righteousness. Righteousness, to study righteousness is a whole school. And I believe one day the Lord will give us a whole month or so where we can focus on righteousness. But suffice to say that according to the Old Testament practice, under the Old Covenant, one gains righteousness by complete observation of all the laws. To be called righteous or to be made righteous or to have righteousness or to have right standing with God under the Old Testament, you need to obey every single law. The laws as they were compressed to the Ten Commandments and all the other subsidiary precepts of God, subsidiary laws, you ought to live by all of them in order to maintain your righteousness. And in under the Old Covenant, any shortfall of righteousness need to be corrected by offering the appropriate sacrifices or undergoing the appropriate punishment according to the law. And there were practices like the annual sacrifices by the high priest on behalf of every member of society so that God will restore them to righteous ways. But what is righteousness? What is righteousness? Righteousness means having a right standing with God. Having a right standing, that's the simplest definition of righteousness. Having a right standing with God. Or when a person is in accord with God's standard, all your life, your behavior, your speech, everything you do is in line or in accord with the standard of God, in accord with the laws of God, in accord with the precepts of God, the decrees of God. We can also say if you are righteous, when you have a proper relationship with God, you haven't sinned. So God has not cut you off. You have a right relationship with God. And that is what we mean to say that somebody is righteous. The gift of righteousness, I mean, the word righteousness also means justice, right, the act of doing what is in agreement with God's standard. The act of doing what is in agreement with God's standard. It is the state of being in proper relationship with God or having a right standing with God. So if the Bible says that Jesus has granted us a gift of righteousness, the Greek word there is dikaiosyne, and it simply means the state of being in proper relationship with God. If we are to give a background, even according to where you read Romans chapter 5 verse 17, Adam, when he was created, the first man God created, had a right relationship with God. The Bible says in the evening of the day, God walks in the garden. He comes to them and have fellowship with Adam and with Eve. God speaks to them as a man speaks to his brother, his son, or his friend. They have the right relationship with God. They have the right standing with God. They have the ability to act and do all things in agreement with God's standards. That ability was with them. So two things. They had the right standing with God. They had a proper relationship with God. And they have the ability to also act and do things in agreement with God's standard. They have the ability to obey God and to act the way God wanted them to act. But when sin entered into the heart of man, the right relationship, the right standard was broken. Man did not have any right standing with God again and did not have a right relationship, a proper relationship with God again. Even when they hate God, they hate themselves. They could not relate to Him. Sin has become a barrier between man and God. And the Bible says, since the fall, man became so sinful, so wicked. At the point, God said that He had regretted creating man. So man lost the ability to act in agreement with God's standard. So I'm just re-emphasizing so that you get the picture and you get the understanding. Two things man lost: the right standing with God, or the proper relationship with God. Then number two, that ability that enables man to act according to the standard of God. That makes man obey God, obey His word, obey His precepts, obey His law. We're all lost. So when Jesus came and died, by His death, He pacified God, or He paid for that sin which caused all this break in relationship and the loss of right standing. So He there pacified or atoned for that. And by so doing, He was able to restore to man what we call the gift of righteousness. And this time around, it became a gift because He rather achieved everything for us through His death on the cross. He has paid for the penalty of not able to have the right relationship. And He has also restored to us the ability to do right, the ability to act according to the right standards of God. Hallelujah. And therefore, He has imparted unto us this gift of righteousness. Amen. So, just as I started in the Old Testament, you need to obey all the laws of God to be accorded righteous or righteousness. And if you fall short, then you need to offer the necessary sacrifices, or you need to go through the necessary punishment to restore into righteousness. Amen. And mind you, we're talking about having a right relationship with God, having a right standing with God, that which make you confident and assured that yes, you are a child of God, you are a son of God. You have been born into royalty. You can reign. That is having a right standing with God. And you also have the ability to do what is right, to live according to the standards of God. Amen. So through the Old Testament, you needed to walk by the law, observe all the laws, and the laws were countless. And it was difficult. Every now and then they fell short of it, a sin. And they had to pacify God through sacrifices or go through certain punishment to be restored to the place of righteousness. But in the New Testament, the story has changed. Amen. Romans 3:25 says that God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. What this scripture says is that God, who is the God of love, could not look on sin. And His law said that whoever sinned ought to be punished. Whoever sinned ought to die. So God was torn between punishing the sin of men and also showing mercy to men. So what He could do to attain these two So what God could do to satisfy His justice and also to redeem men, He needed to punish sin. He also needed by his mercy to redeem man. So what he could do was to send his son to come and die to satisfy his justice. And through his death to also redeem the people he has created unto himself. So the act of Christ's death on the cross satisfied these two conditions and these two desires in the heart of God. To pacify Jehovah God, satisfy his justice, because man has sinned and they have to die. So he sent his son to come and die for men. Men have died. When Christ died, we all died in him. Hallelujah. So God satisfied that justice. And when he died, he also died for us and redeemed us unto God. And God also satisfied his mercy. So his mercy reigned and his justice was also compensated for through his death. That's why I say God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness. God is righteous. He cannot live with sin. Therefore, he has to punish sin. And he punished sin by allowing Jesus to die for us. So he punished us through Christ's death. And he satisfied his righteousness, his justice. Because the Bible says he could not let sin committed beforehand go unpunished. So Christ died for us. And God achieved his death, that one death, for the two purposes, to punish sin and also to redeem us unto himself. In Romans 10:3-4 said that sin, they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Hallelujah. These writings of Romans are so key to the topic we are discussing. Romans 10:3-4 is saying that the Old Testament people, even as we speak now, the Jews are still seeking the righteousness of God through the law. So the Bible says that they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own righteousness. What they are doing is that they are trying to establish their own righteousness per the law. But in the New Testament, Christ, who died for us, some versions say is the end of the law, because Christ obeyed all the law for us. The law that we could not obey, he obeyed them for us. And he also died by satisfying God's righteous requirement for sinners. And for that matter, as we move on, he is able to confer on us God's righteousness. So he's saying that Christ is the end of the law, is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. So now, to attain God's righteousness is not by your ability to obey all the laws inscribed in the Bible, but it's by you believing in Christ who obeyed all the laws inscribed in the Bible, so that God can confer his righteousness upon you. And this righteousness we are referring to, the theologians call it imputed righteousness. Hallelujah. In the New Testament, we can talk about two kinds of righteousness. The imputed righteousness, righteousness that Jesus has accomplished through his death and through his satisfaction of God's demand righteousness, demand for righteousness. And by so doing, he has imputed or freely given, that is the gift of righteousness, freely given righteousness unto us by his accomplished work on Calvary. Hallelujah. So not that we haven't done anything, but all that we've done is that we are riding on what Jesus did to attain a right standing with God. And Jesus is the end of the law, culmination of the law, meaning he obeyed all the law. And for that matter, that demand that we ought to obey all the law has ended. He has done it for us. And the Bible says he did it so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. So therefore, according to what we are reading in Romans 10:3-4, Anybody who has accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and personal Savior has received the gift of righteousness. And that gift entitled him to have a right standing with God, have a right relationship with God, can go to God as a perfect son, can walk to God, can be conferred upon and be entitled to all the grace and the rights that are in Christ Jesus. One of them is reigning in life. Hallelujah. So Christ has become the culmination of the law, the end of the law, so that he may confer righteousness on everyone who believes. Amen. So we have all received imputed righteousness, righteousness given, the gift of righteousness, by our faith in Christ, by believing in Christ as our Lord and Savior, meaning believing in the finished work that he did for us on Calvary. You believe that he died for you, he lived for you, he obeyed the laws for you, and he has received the gift of righteousness for you. And therefore, God calls you righteous. And the reason why God recalls you righteous and calls you righteous is that not that he sees anything good in you, but anytime he casts his eyes down, he does not see you. He sees you in Christ Jesus. Amen. So your name is Akosua Mansa, but when he looks on you, he sees Jesus. He sees Akosua Mansa in Christ. So he sees the righteousness of Christ Jesus, which is upon you. And he recalls you, this is my righteous one. That is my righteous one. The one who lives in London, that is my righteous one. Because you have believed in the finished work of Christ, who is the culmination of the law. Hallelujah. I hope this is not too difficult to understand. You need to listen to it again and again. Amen. So we have received imputed righteousness by the finished work of Christ Jesus on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Now you are dealing with New Testament stuff. You move away from the Old Testament. Simply in the Old Testament, you need to obey the laws to be reckoned righteous. If you fall short, you either sacrifice or you go through some punishment, and your righteousness is restored. In the New Testament, somebody had obeyed the law for us and died to pay for our sins, and his righteousness had been put on us. So 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Jesus had no sin, but he became sin. When did he become sin? When he hung on the cross, the Bible said, all the sins of this world were put on him. The sin that had been committed and the sin that will ever be committed until Christ come were all put on him. And the Bible says, even God could not look upon his son. That's why there was full darkness. And Jesus himself even cried, my Lord, why have you forsaken me? Because he was the carrier and the bearer of all our sins. So that through that, he can achieve God's own righteousness for us. So the Bible says he made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In Christ we have become God's righteousness. We have been conferred and imputed the righteousness of God. So God sees us as righteous, even in him, in Christ Jesus. So that act of faith in Christ is not a joke. When you lifted your hands and received Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, the implication is so much. Since that day, God has put on you his own righteousness, and he reckoned you as righteous. You have a right standing with him. You have a proper relationship with him. You can go to him as your father. He can come to you as his son. Hallelujah. All by your faith in Christ Jesus. Romans 1:17 said that for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Listen to it closely. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So you see that in the gospel, in the New Testament, a new kind of righteousness has been revealed. And that's what I'm trying to explain to you. A new kind of righteousness of God has been revealed. It is a righteousness which is by faith, true and true, from first to last. Your faith in Christ Jesus accords you God's righteousness. Your faith in his finished work on Calvary. Yes, I believe he died. Yes, he died for me. And he died to save me from sin. And that I take him as my Lord and personal Savior. That act of faith in Christ Jesus connects you with God's righteousness. And God consider you as his righteousness. And therefore you have a right standing before him and a proper relationship with him. He become your God. And you have become his son or his daughter. Amen and amen. Romans chapter 3 verse 22 says that this righteousness is given through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. This righteousness is given through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. If you are believing him, God has imputed his righteousness on you. Ma solebre indicataya. Philippians chapter 3 verse 9. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. For under the new covenant, the righteousness God is looking for from us is the righteousness that comes from him, that comes through the finished work of Christ on Calvary. And it comes by faith. When we profess faith in Christ Jesus, when we believe in him as our Lord and personal Savior, and we believe in him as one who has died for our sin and has attained God's righteousness for us, God confers his righteousness on us, give us a right standing with him, put us in the right relationship with him, and therefore we can access our authority and our dominion, even to rule. Being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which comes from the law, but which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Amen. Makule beki idia ataya. Mamu koto site kali. Masi ilia hasaya. But I'm happy also to announce to you that because of this imputed righteousness, that comes by our faith in Christ Jesus. Because of that, we also have a responsibility to conduct ourselves in all righteousness. Amen. Let me give you a simple analogy. To become a lawyer in this land and in many jurisdictions, you ought to satisfy certain demands of the judicial, of the legal counsel of the land, i.e., you need to be educated as a lawyer, pass all the law exams, and you need to be sworn in as a lawyer. And you need to take an oath to obey all the requirements of the legal counsel. And if you pay your dues, then you are a lawyer of right standing. Anytime anybody wants to find out whether you are, it will be said that, yes, you are a lawyer of right standing. So you have a right standing as a lawyer in the land. Just as when you believe in Christ Jesus, it is imputed to you God's own righteousness, and you have a right standing with God. Fine. But that right standing also put a responsibility. That right standing of the lawyer put a responsibility on him to behave as a lawyer per the dictates of the requirements of the legal counsel. And anytime the lawyer falls short of that, he's brought before the legal counsel. Sometimes they even withdraw his license to practice law. The same applies to accountant. If you're a chartered accountant or right standing, meaning you pass the exam, you have been sworn in or whatever, inaugurated as an accountant. If you pay your dues and you observe all the rules, you are an accountant of right standing. But if you disobey the rules, your right standing can be revoked. Amen. So therefore, we have received God's imputed righteousness, but that puts a responsibility on us to act right. Amen. The fact that the Bible said, by our faith in Christ Jesus, we have become the righteousness of God, is the best position you could ever be. But it places a responsibility on you to act right, to live right, to behave right, to behave as somebody who has received the righteousness of God. So don't sing along as the people, a lot of people sing along, I'm the righteousness of God, and they go about doing all kinds of things that are not consistent with the life of righteousness. So our righteous position confers on us the responsibility to live right. To live right. So Romans 6:13 says that do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. Let me take it again. Romans 6:13. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought to death, brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. So our right standing with God preaches for us through Christ Jesus, our imputed righteousness put on us a responsibility to live right. Don't be part of the corruption circle in your workplace. Don't be part of the wicked men association, the wicked women association. Don't be part of those who have turned Christianity into a ritual of just going to church but not practicing the acts and the details of Christianity. You say we should offer the members of our body, part of ourselves, as instrument of righteousness. Because He called us His righteous, we ought to live right. We ought to live by the standards of God and show the world who we are made of. There is a long reading in Galatians chapter 5, starting from 13, and it will end in 21. Not in that order, but I mean some of the verses I've picked, I want to share with you. That because He has made us His righteousness, He has given us the gift of righteousness. It confers on us to live right, to maintain this right standing by our daily walk and by our daily lives. Reading from Galatians 5:13, it says that you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. What a gift of righteousness grants you is freedom in Christ Jesus. You are a son, and you've been called into freedom. You are not a slave. You have liberty in your Father's house. But I say, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh or the acts of the flesh, the acts of sin. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. One way that will help you not to walk in unrighteous ways is to stay in the Spirit. You see, for the flesh desire what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. The acts of the flesh are obvious. These are the acts of the flesh. Sexual immorality. You cannot be God's righteousness and be indulging in sexual immorality. Impurity, having impure thoughts, impure engagement, impure verbal conversations, is not acts of righteousness. Debauchery, idolatry, is not out of righteousness. Witchcraft. Now there are many people in Christendom who are also dabbling in witchcraft. Their difficulty is availing themselves so that they are helped, so that they are delivered from this act. And they keep the two. When they are coming to church, they leave the witchcraft at home. And they will come and dance and do all kinds of gymnastics in church. When they go back in the night, they fly again. And some are in a dilemma. They want to stop, but they can't stop. They will come to church, nice people, occupying positions in church. Go back in the night, they go and fly and do all kinds of demonic activities. And they are in the church. Witchcraft is not an act of righteousness. If you are such, avail yourself and be helped and be delivered, because this one will take you to hell. Hatred is not an act of righteousness. Discord, being out of tune, always being in loggerhead with your fellow men. Jealousy is not an act of righteousness. Fist of rage, fighting here and there, is not an act of righteousness. Selfish ambition. Dissensions, always causing divisions, factions, creating troubles, forming unholy caucuses in church, in workplace, everywhere. Creating me and you, me and them, we and them. Envy, drunkenness, those who cannot stop drinking. Factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. He says, I warn you as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you live like this, you cannot be in the kingdom. You cannot reign. So the gift of righteousness is a key instrument that will enable us to reign. And that gift was accomplished on the cross. And those who believe in Christ have been imparted with this gift. And this gift also behoves on us that we walk in righteousness and do not walk in the flesh. Consecrate yourself as a holy vessel unto the Lord. For Christ has granted us the ability to walk in righteousness. He does not just put righteousness on us. He has also given us an inherent ability by the help of the Holy Spirit, so that we can walk in righteousness and maintain our righteous standing and our right standing with God and have a proper relationship with God, living by God's standard, which He has given to us as a gift. Beloved, I had to explain this to you. Tomorrow we will end the gift of righteousness, and then we will enter into reigning. I just want to pray for you, because the time is fast spent. So you can put your hand on your head. Father, we thank you for the exposition you've given unto us concerning righteousness. You have illuminated us to the effect that in the Old Testament, to be righteous, you had to fully obey all the laws. This was very difficult for them. They fell short. They needed to pacify you by continual sacrifices and observing punishment in association with the law. But thank God for Jesus Christ and for Tetelestai. He died and paid the price of our sins and has also conferred upon us the gift of righteousness. We have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, by our faith in Christ. And this imputed righteousness, Father, has also brought to us the responsibility to walk right, to live right, and to remain right, and to practice righteousness. And for that, we ask for grace, O Lord, and I ask for grace for everyone under the sound of my voice, that we will be able to walk in righteousness, having this gift of righteousness, so that we can maintain our right standing with you, and we can also walk in righteousness. We thank you for the gift of righteousness, by which you reign, O God. This morning, I pray for that hearer. I pray for the one listening to me, that your grace will multiply upon us, and we will be able, O Lord, to also function as righteous vessels, as people who have been clothed with righteousness, and you will be able to reign in righteousness, having a consciousness that is free from guilt, and have guilt, and having an understanding that we have been positioned in the right standing with you, so that we are confident to approach the throne of grace every day as sons and as your children and as kings and as queens, will not be under any doubt. And Father, let us be emboldened, O God, with this gift of righteousness to rise up and take our place and reign on this earth and reign in life, and bring glory unto you. Beloved, I bless you with the grace of God. I bless you with the peace of God. I bless you with the favor of God. I bless you with the enablement of God. I bless you with the blessings of God. I declare unto you that you have received a gift of righteousness. Move, live, walk, reign with this gift of righteousness. May your right standing with God never be corrupted. May that embolden you to always approach the throne of grace, knowing that you are a son, knowing that you are a daughter of God. May your day be sweet. May your day be fruitful. May your day be victorious. May the angels of the Lord step out with you. May they go ahead of you and prepare everywhere that you are going today, prepare the place for you. May the Lord bestow glory upon you. May you exhibit your tetelestai advantage. May you be a man and woman full of power, full of glory, full of strength, full of wealth, full of honor, full of blessing. May that which Christ did for you become rare. And may your head be lifted up out of any trouble, and may the Lord strengthen you. Be blessed and be a blessing unto your generation. In Jesus' name, I bless you. Amen. Beloved, remember, Saturday, 6 a.m. to 7:30 a.m., we are meeting on Mount Zion. There will be a time for ministration. Come, invite other people, and come with whatever is on your heart. The Lord will meet you at the point of your name. God bless you. See you tomorrow. Shalom, peace to you and your family. Amen.